news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
One of the challenges of doing a daily news update these days is figuring out what to lead with. Just know we're in the midst of a 10-alarm fire. So, in no order of urgency, it's all urgent. The news coming out of northeastern Syria Wednesday morning is devastating. David Ignatius of the Washington Post tweeted Tuesday night, quote, "A bad situation in northeast Syria is about to get much worse. Sources tell me that U.S. officials have just informed the Syrian Kurds that Turkey is likely to attack on air and ground in the next 24 hours. The U.S. will do nothing. Targets are Tal Abyad and Ras Al Ain." Ironically, Tal Abyad was the main supply route for ISIS in 2014 and 2015 through an open border from Turkey. Turkey refused repeated requests from the U.S. to shut the border. That's a big reason why U.S. decided to partner with SDF, which took the town in the summer of 2015. I'm also told that Turkish attack appears coordinated with the Russians. Russian-backed forces are mobilizing to invade the Kurdish area from the south, towards Topkapi and other spots. Meanwhile, ISIS is mobilizing sleeper cells in Raqqa, and attacks have taken place tonight. And finally, writes David Ignatius, there's the scary issue of the thousands of ISIS detainees and families who may be breaking out of camps and prisons after Turkish attack with no American backup plan. This is a major disaster coming at us because of Trump's decision, hours left to stop it. Sadly, the hours left have dwindled to no time left to stop it. As just moments after 9 a.m. Eastern Time, Wednesday, Turkish President Erdogan tweeted, quote, "The Turkish armed forces, together with the Syrian National Army, just launched Operation Peace Spring against PKK/YPG and Daesh terrorists in northern Syria." Just know that by PKK/YPG, he's talking about the Kurds, and Daesh terrorists, I guess, is in reference to ISIS. Although Turkey considers the Kurds, quote, terrorists, they're our allies. He continued, "Our mission is to prevent the creation of a terror corridor across our southern border and to bring peace to the area." Sure, make no mistake, he's talking genocide. How did we get here? Well, to recap, according to Turkey's communications director, during a call with Turkish President Erdogan on Sunday, Donald Trump, quote, agreed to transfer the leadership of the counter-Islamic State campaign to Turkey. In response on Wednesday morning, Syrian Kurdish forces, allies of the United States, issued a general mobilization call along the border with Turkey as Ankara threatened an imminent invasion of the area. After first allegedly giving his approval on the phone call, Trump was destroyed by Democrats and Republicans alike on Monday. Then he attempted to backpedal a bit, threatening to, quote, totally destroy and obliterate Turkey's economy if their push into Syria went too far. Turkey's been lining up troops for days along its border with Syria and vowed it would go ahead with the military operation and not bow to the U.S. threat over its plans against the Kurds. Such a sad, sad story, and unnecessary. Now on to matters at home. The Trump administration now says it will not comply with any requests from Democrats in the impeachment inquiry. In an 8-page letter addressed to Nancy Pelosi and three committee chairs, the White House says they will not cooperate with the impeachment inquiry because, among a plethora of other so-called reasons, there hasn't been a full House vote authorizing the inquiry. Most legal scholars dismiss the letter as bunk, saying it has more references to cable news sources than to actual law, and lies and false statements are well represented. White House counsel Pat Cipollini, who signed the letter, said, quote, "Given that your inquiry lacks any legitimate constitutional foundation, any pretense of fairness, or even the most elementary due process protections, the executive branch cannot be expected to participate in it." Now, that letter followed another no-show on Tuesday morning. Gordon Sondland, the U.S. ambassador to the European Union, who, by the way, paid $1 million to Trump's inaugural committee for the position, was supposed to sit for a closed-door deposition, but was blocked by the State Department at the last minute. The status of the deposition of former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch, scheduled for Friday, will likely be blocked too. The Democrats have already issued a formal subpoena for Sondland and threatened to do the same for any other State Department officials blocked from testifying, along with messages or documents they may have. So far, the Democrats have subpoenaed Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, the White House, the Pentagon, the Office of Management and Budget, Trump's personal attorney Rudy Giuliani, and the U.S. ambassador to the European Union, Gordon Sondland. Donald Trump has already thrown everyone from Mike Pence to Mike Pompeo under the bus, now adds Energy Secretary Rick Perry to the pile. Reports now say that Trump directed Perry and two top State Department officials to deal with his private attorney Giuliani when the Ukrainian president sought to meet with Trump, obviously in clear circumvention of official channels. New reports are shedding more light on the July 25th phone call between Trump and Ukraine's new president, Zelensky. You know, the one that Trump keeps describing as perfect. CNN's reporting that almost as soon as the call ended, officials were worried about the pressure Trump exerted on Zelensky, and efforts to contain the fallout began. At least one NSC official alerted the White House's national security lawyers about concerns. Those same lawyers would later order the transcript moved to a highly classified server. At least one White House official who listened in on the call characterized the conversation as, quote, crazy and frightening, and was described as shaken by the call, according to a memo written by the whistleblower behind the recent intelligence community report. Now, after refusing to prepare for an impeachment fight, Trump on Tuesday retained former South Carolina Congressman Trey Gowdy as his outside counsel. Gowdy most famously led the Benghazi investigation. Want to see a real witch hunt? Delve into that ridiculous mess for a while. Anyway, just to remind you, Trey Gowdy's opinion on complying with congressional demands for information?
The notion that you can withhold information and documents from Congress, no matter whether you're the party in power or not in power, is wrong. Respect for the rule of law must mean something irrespective of the vicissitudes of political cycles.
I expect we'll be hearing clips like that a lot more in the near future. In a rare show of bipartisan cooperation, the Senate Intelligence Committee, led by Republican Senator Richard Burr, on Tuesday released an 85-page report that says unequivocally that a troll farm based in Russia used automated and fake social media personas in an attempt to sow discord, hurt Hillary Clinton, and help Donald Trump, and found that Russian social media activity, quote, was overtly and almost invariably supportive of then-candidate Trump to the detriment of Secretary Clinton's campaign. The report also confirms the findings of private researchers that African-American voters were targeted by the troll farm more frequently than any other group in an apparent effort to suppress the vote and help Trump. The committee issued this bipartisan report calling for Congress to consider new laws designed to prevent foreign interference in elections and on social media. Utility giant Pacific Gas and Electric began shutting off the power early Wednesday morning in parts of Northern California in an effort to prevent starting a wildfire. Almost 500,000 customers are in the dark right now. Another 300,000 will lose power later in the day. The electricity could be off for days. Forecasters warn that many parts of Northern California are under extreme fire weather danger, with windy and dry conditions forecast for the region. PG&E equipment started the deadly 2018 Camp Fire, according to a state investigation, after a power line touched nearby trees. So the extreme measure of shutting off the power is being used to prevent future blazes. We can only hope. Bernie Sanders is home in Vermont now after suffering a minor heart attack last week. He spoke to reporters on Tuesday, explaining that his campaign is going to change a little bit. He will cut down on some of the massive numbers of events he does daily.
I must confess that I was dumb. I was born, and thank God that I have a lot of energy. And, you know, during this campaign, I've been doing, in some cases, three or four rallies a day, running all over the state, Iowa, New Hampshire, wherever. And yet I, in the last month or two, just was more fatigued than I usually have been. So And I should have listened to those symptoms. So if there's any message that I hope we can get out there, is that I want people to pay attention to their symptoms.
Well, two people have been killed and one suspect arrested in a shooting incident near a synagogue in the eastern German town of Halle. This happened on Yom Kippur, the holiest day in the Jewish calendar. I got the news. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com. Please click on that donate button.